Stranger Than Christian is sponsored by The Wash Vintage, clothing and accessories at unbelievable prices, rare, unique, and fashionable merchandise with new stock added each and every week. Visit thewashvintage.com, use the promo code STRANGER, and receive 10% off your first order. That's promo code STRANGER for 10% off your first order at thewashvintage.com. The Wash, vintage for the masses. It has been quite a... My headphones are too short. I have to, like, lean over into the microphone. I'm going to pull my computer off. From Hungary, this is Stranger Than Christian. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to another episode of Stranger Than Christian. My name is Christian Carrion. I'm having one of those days where it feels like my mouth is on backwards, but we're going to get through it. Another week, another episode, another unscripted, unrehearsed conversation with a complete stranger from somewhere on this beautiful planet of ours. Thank you very much again for tuning in. It's been quite a week here at the Carrion household. My wife got diagnosed with COVID a little over a week ago. We are on day 10 of her recovery right now, and I am very thankful that this seems to be a mild case of COVID. She had the symptoms. She had the fever, the slight cough, the shortness of breath, and sure enough, she tested positive, again, a little over a week ago. She's doing great right now. Her oxygen is good. Her heart rate is good. Her temperature, she just lost her fever today, so we're celebrating that. We had a little bit of an emergency yesterday. We had to go to the hospital because her fever would not go below 104. So we went to the emergency room. I don't know if she lost her fever by the time she got there or we just have a bum-ass thermometer that was giving us a wrong reading, but it turned out she was okay. She got sent home within 20 minutes and we were back doing what we do, which is right now isolating and sending each other cat memes from the separate bedrooms. So I love my wife and I'm very proud of her. And I thank all of my friends and family members and listeners who sent their prayers, who sent their messages of support, who sent their well wishes, their offers to help. I will never forget how generous my friends and the people in my universe are. So thank you very much for that. Cats in good spirits, which is half the battle in terms of fighting illness, but having that support system goes a great way towards speedy resolution, things like this as well. So I'm unbelievably appreciative. Thank you so much. One of the things I got to do while I've been home for the past few days is upload dozens of my episodes to YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and search for Stranger Than Christian, you'll find dozens of episodes there, including one episode that's exclusive to YouTube. I talked to Eve back in August, and I can't believe I hadn't posted it earlier, but Eve was a nude art model and a cabaret performer, and we had a really entertaining, fun conversation. I really feel like I got to know her, and I think you'll get to know her as well. She was a very interesting character. So that's on YouTube along with dozens of other episodes. Just search for Stranger Than Christian on YouTube and subscribe. I think what I'll do is I'll start posting the new episodes there as well. Some people don't do the Spotify thing or do the Apple Podcast thing, and you know, what better place to have a podcast than really the largest content database on the internet? So let's hope that more people listen to it. I think that would be great. Don't you? Today I'm talking to Laszlo. Laszlo works in IT and he lives in Hungary. First Hungarian guest I've ever had on the show. So if you're playing along at home, go ahead and cross off Hungary on those bingo cards. Send them in. Make sure your name is on the back and bring them to your local supermarket for a chance at that $5,000 grand prize package. I was fascinated to know what life was like in Hungary, and I was also fascinated to find out that there are some similarities between the mindset regarding the pandemic in America and the mindset regarding the pandemic in Hungary. I didn't know in other countries people are arguing to not wear masks. I thought that was a strictly American thing. Isn't that crazy? And I think, you know, going through what I'm going through, not firsthand, but secondhand, helps me to realize and reinforce the thought that if you're not taking this seriously, that's such a huge mistake. And yes, it doesn't affect some people the way it affects others. Yes, some people will die from this thing. Yes, some people will not. Some people will go through it the way they go through a really big cold or the flu or something like that. But either way, there's no excuse to not take it seriously. And if you don't take it seriously, I would implore you to change your mind. As somebody who's living in a household with somebody who's COVID positive, you don't want it. As mild as it is, you still don't want it. So yeah, we just had a great conversation. You know, Laszlo was a very calming guest to talk to. He put me at ease. And as a result, we talked for way over the hour or so that I try to keep these conversations at these days in order to edit them properly, not take too much out of them, and get them into that 59-minute broadcast window for Radio Free Brooklyn. So I really can't think of a better month in which to start a thing that I talked about last week, Stranger Than Christian Unmastered. So my patrons at patreon.com/strangerthanchristian all now will have access to unedited, ad-free, unmastered episodes of my show. And so the first one is out, featuring Nikki, my guest from last week. If you're listening to this particular episode on a Saturday or anytime after that, you will have access to the unedited conversation with Laszlo. So again, if you're a patron, go ahead, strangerthanchristian.com. Go check it out. Download it. Like it. Love it. And if you're not a patron, it's not too late. Go ahead and sign up if you would like to support me on this journey. I would appreciate it, and to show my appreciation, I'll give you all kinds of cool little behind-the-scenes things, little goodies as I think of them. You will be the first to know about them, and I would just really appreciate that. Thank you very much. And, of course, the usual, we're on Facebook at Stranger Than Christian, Twitter at Stranger Than C. StrangerThanChristian.com is the website. You can listen to all my episodes, email me, tell me anything you want me to know, compliments, complaints, comments, concerns, other C words. And I appreciate every message I get. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but I have a personal policy of responding to every email I get. So if you send me an email, I promise you will get a personal response. And the email address is christian@radiofreebrooklyn.org or strangerthanchristian@gmail.com. Either one of those go right to my phone, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, respond to any concerns you might have. I'm going to bring you that conversation with Laszlo from Hungary in just a minute. But first, here is a word of interest about a phenomenal program on the Apocalypse Podcast Network. You're listening to Stranger Than Christian. Stay right there.
Stop, stop, stop. Do not adjust your ears. You are hearing me clear. My name is Gamal, and I am a culture queen.
My name is Sajda, and I'm a contrary queen, okay? I'm coming at you with devil's advocate realness.
I'm Jelani. I'm a tangent queen. I'm going to distract us from whatever we're talking about and say something I wanted to.
Join us all for Pod Queens, a show where we wade into the steamy waters of culture.
Pod Queens, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Insert tagline here.
Hello.
Hey, Laszlo.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just switched to Chrome browser, and it seems to be working. Is it working for you?
Yeah, I'm on Firefox, and it works for me. I hear you perfectly now. And you can actually turn your camera off. I do not need any audio, or sorry, video, rather.
Okay. Okay, I just thought maybe you need at the beginning to imagine me better or something like that.
No, that's okay. I've already done all the imagining I can do. That's part of the process preparing for these episodes is spending the day previous imagining who I'm going to talk to. But I find that if you imagine too much, it's not as fun. It's good to leave some blanks in there to fill in.
I hope you didn't spend the whole day with this.
No, you know what? I tell you what I do. I usually, the day before an episode, I'll have the application of the person I know I'm talking to the following day. And as I do my, as I run my errands and as I walk around the supermarket, I read it. And that's the first level of preparation. And then 15 minutes before we have the conversation that we're having now, I'll do nothing but just scan it and think of what I might want to ask and what I want to talk about and what I want to, you know, expand on. So
and what do you mean by walking around the supermarket?
So when I do my grocery shopping, grocery shopping is very meditative for me. It's one of the few moments I have in a day when I can walk around and be left relatively alone, and I get some time to think and send some messages and do all the little things I need to do that I don't have time to in a regular day.
Do you have to wear a mask in this grocery shop?
Yes, I've been wearing a mask since the middle of February.
Wow. Middle of February.
Yes. Yeah, COVID is not good here right now. And Pennsylvania, the state where I live, was the hotspot for quite a while, especially during the first, what they're calling now the first outbreak or the first wave. It's sort of headed towards California now. The west coast of the country seems to contain a lot of the serious cases. But that's not to say we're doing much better. It's still pretty dire around here. But yeah, we wear a mask everywhere we go, every single place.
Even on the street?
Not in the street. They say that when you're walking out in the street, well, you know, they said during the first wave when the weather was nicer, they said it's safe to go exercise, it's safe to walk around your neighborhood, go to the park, spend time outside, because while it's an airborne disease, there's very little risk of you contracting it if there's not somebody close enough to you, you know. So as long as you maintain that proper distance, you can get away with not wearing a mask outside. What's the situation like in terms of COVID in Hungary right now?
Well, very good question, because if we count the death rate calculated per millions of people of the population of the country, Hungary is on the top level in this very bad race. So we are the baddest situation in the whole world. Again, if we calculate per millions of people.
Right.
So we live the same as you described, wearing a mask, and even the school is open. My children are going to school and kindergarten. The smaller one is still going to kindergarten. And in the school, they have to wear a mask. And I, as an IT guy, work from home since March 14th. And we hope that this vaccination will turn the table around. And I wanted to ask you, because I'm asking everybody, that do you plan a vaccination for yourself?
I do, yes, for several reasons. One of those reasons being, in my current line of work, I work in retail, soon to be working on the administrative side, so I'll be in an office. But I've unfortunately come in close contact with a lot of people on a daily basis in my line of work. And because of the distinction between essential and non-essential workers in America, retail and grocery and all those things happen to fall on the on that side of things. They fall on the essential side of things. So they are considering, I don't know in terms of retail or grocery, how important those jobs will be once they decide who gets the vaccination. I know that nurses and emergency workers, emergency workers have gotten the vaccine, or at least the opportunity to get it. I hope I'm next up. And the other reason being, I'm type 2 diabetic, so that puts me at risk for, at greater risk for infection. So those two circumstances, and you know, and not to mention the fact that I have a family that I live with, so you know, I have to take their safety into consideration as well. So I can't wait to get vaccinated.
I am on the same side. I already plan to. There is a registration. Our government is running a form where you can register, but it's not clear what they do with our data. So I'm waiting for this vaccination to be available for everybody, and I will be in the first row to walk to the doctor and ask for the shot.
Sure. The use of private data is such a huge concern. As somebody who works in that industry, what do you see are some of the most common mistakes people make, or maybe some of the most common misconceptions that people have about how to store their data, about the passwords they use, about how they keep their information or their mobile devices safe?
Well, when everyday people like my parents or relatives are speaking about this, they have so much concern and they explain to me all kinds of strategies. But my point is, or my approach is, that basically we have already lost this war. I think everything is, we are living with the Big Brother right now. We can call it Google or Facebook or whatever. And again, it's another question. Are they connected? Are those data connected with the government data or our insurance data? There can be very interesting things about those. But I think we have lost here. And there is a philosopher in Hungary who says that right now, today, we are living the end of the world. And this does not mean that a meteorite will fall from the sky, or a huge pandemic will wipe the whole earth. No. He means that the end might be for 100 years. So it's a time interval for a long time. But this is the beginning of the end. So we might see something like the end of the Roman Empire. So we build this whole Western civilization, and we have beautiful skyscrapers, and we have the internet, but we also lost a lot from the personal side, or from our souls. And this is why he thinks that this is the beginning of the end. And I tend to agree with him in this.
Sure. I think there could be something to that. Well, they say, you know, the end of life as we know it, meaning only that this life that we know will come to an end at some point, and then the next chapter will begin, and it will have its hallmarks and its pitfalls and its things that that era will be remembered for. But yeah, it does, you know, it does feel that way. And I think that what you're describing puts words to a feeling that I know I've been experiencing the past few months, and I'm sure millions of people in this country and around the world have been feeling it as well. Something has to change after this. Something permanent has to happen that will differentiate our previous way of life from this post-COVID life.
Mm-hmm. But what should change?
Well, I think that the way we communicate as people will fundamentally change. I think, you know, introducing social distancing, especially, you know, to me personally, introducing social distancing and the idea of keeping a personal boundary around you that is mutually respected both by you and the people you don't know that are out in the world near you. I think that that is the beginning of a new era of communication for people. I think that the retail space is going to change based on that. I think that transportation, travel is going to change. And I don't exactly know to the precise letter how it will change, but this pandemic has definitely exposed some weaknesses in our system, for lack of a better phrase. And so in those ways, I think that we have no choice but to look at the system and identify those gaps and identify those flaws and, you know, to change them for the better of our society.
Like working, right?
Well, that's a huge one. I think that a lot of people have realized that the jobs that they have been sacrificing their personal and family time for are things that can be done at home, from home. I have a lot of friends who work as administrators in colleges and work in various offices and call centers and things. And, you know, part of the soul-crushing aspect of jobs like that can be the commute, the travel to and from home, the idea that you're away from your family, you're away from your leisure time, you're away from the things that provide you that base creature comfort. So, you know, to suddenly have this awakening and realize, wow, I can do this from my home. I don't have to miss out on that time. I don't have to feel disconnected from this part of my life that's also very important to me. I think that that's a game changer. I mean, you personally have had to experience that, having a family and being able to work from home. That has to feel better, right?
Absolutely. After I take my daughter to the kindergarten, I get home in 10 minutes and I have a free half an hour before I start working. And this is very good. I can do the things after breakfast and maybe drink another coffee or something like that. But I also experienced the other side from the buses and employees, right?
Right.
Employees. Sure. Because before working from home, even on IT, was kind of a dream. A few people were doing it, but not so much. And now everything is working along this concept. My company is working, the whole company is working from home, 5,000 people. And it was switched during a weekend. And of course, for that department who were working on the VPN connections and passwords and security, they were working the whole weekend and a lot of extra time. But after that, it was kind of smooth. And still now, of course, I receive letters on LinkedIn that, hey, here's a new job. Hey, do you want to join a new company and stuff like that? And a lot of places are doing still the old way. And I ask, can I work from home? I am living in a small town. I can work for a smaller fee. And they say, well, after the pandemic, we will return to the office and everything will be the same. And I think that in some aspects, the game has not changed. Because everything is working from home in our job. So I think people should change this mindset that the good worker is in the office, and even though he's watching YouTube the whole day or just having coffee and chatting the whole day, he's there and he's a good worker.
No. I agree with you 100%. Well, you know, one of the other things the pandemic has done is take away businesses that cannot adapt, or, you know, business models that are incompatible with what it has become, what they're calling the new normal. So I personally think that working from home is the wave of the future. I wonder how many companies will have trouble or meet their demise because of their refusal to adapt to that reality. I mean, you know, you think about, I'm sure, you know, when you think about your line of work, working in IT, how much of the experience is lost by not being face to face with the people you're servicing? Probably not much.
Some. Only some.
What would be the benefit of in-person IT work as opposed to working from home?
So there were some studies, not about this exact situation, but where an office has two buildings in the same place, but two buildings, like building A and building B. And these studies showed that if a team is separated in two buildings, they lose their efficiency as much as these two buildings were at the other side of the country. Because sometimes people are just lazy and they don't stand up and go to the other guy that, hey, what do you mean in this line of code? Shall we do this or shall we do that? So these random conversations, like tribal knowledge, is not developing even if there are two buildings at the same place or nearby. So these conversations are missing. But everything else, like tasks, meetings, boards, and conferences, everything is almost the same.
Sure.
So I would
say, that's so fascinating. Uh-huh.
I would say 10 or 15% of efficiency is lost. But I do not have to deal with some colleagues I would not like to deal with. And I do not have to spend time with in the kitchen chit-chatting. And I can do deeper work, actually, in shorter time, because I can just sit down and concentrate. Last week, my wife managed to work from home as well. And after we took our children to the school and kindergarten, we started our workday in the morning. And she said that, what do you usually turn on a radio or a Spotify or YouTube. I said nothing, nothing. After my kids left home, I turned on nothing until 4 o'clock or maybe lunchtime. And I just enjoy the silence and I can go deeper into work. And I'm just working or doing stuff that needs concentration.
Yes. It's so beneficial. I worked in hospitality. I was managing a hotel when the pandemic hit, and I got laid off in July. But from March to July, I was working from home. And what I was doing was I was writing the new training manual for the hotel. So any process that a new front desk agent would need to learn, they'd have a document that they can use to train them. So that's what I was doing. I was writing from home. And silence has become my best friend, and especially when it comes to writing and working, working from home. You know, the silence helps me realize that at the end of the day, I'm in control of my time. I've talked to a few people about this on previous episodes, but one of the changes that I've made in my life personally is being more cognizant of the idea that my time is my time. And I do that in small ways. When I get in my car to go to the store, I will take 5 minutes to myself and enjoy the silence before I start driving. Before I get out and go into the store, after I park, I sit for 5 minutes, take an extra bit of time, and enjoy the music that I'm listening to. And I do the same thing on the way home. And it adds a little bit of time to the trip, but at the same time, why was I rushing earlier? Why couldn't I have taken this time earlier?
Oh, yeah.
And that realization that my time belongs to me is both empowering and liberating, because I feel like I have the mental space to enjoy the things that I used to enjoy at the level that I used to enjoy them.
So this is a kind of a tool for planning, or just sitting and enjoying the silence.
Yeah, you know, it comes in handy when I do need to plan things and when I need to, like I mentioned earlier, send messages and, you know, send a text. But it's also, I consider it a form of self-care, you know, to slow life down just a little bit and to not let the pace of the world dictate my pace. Uh-huh. It just feels great, you know, and I really consider this time that I had with my wife in quarantine to be one of the golden eras of our relationship, because we got along so well and we got to know each other on such a on just a much deeper level. I mean, we were married for 3 years at that point when we started staying home this year. But it was just unbelievable, the harmony that we had together. I'll never forget it.
You did not catch the COVID-19.
I did not, and neither did she. And cool. I pray that we don't. Actually, nobody I know has caught it. And I'm very fortunate to say that, because I know that there are some people for whom their personal circles are decimated.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we hope that this stays the same until the vaccination will be kind of normal or general everywhere.
Can you believe that in America there are people who fight against wearing a mask and declare their right to not wear a mask? Is it unbelievable everywhere. In a place like Hungary that things like that exist? Or
it's
is that
everywhere.
It everywhere?
Yeah.
Even in Hungary.
So you can imagine that even without COVID, in case of is it called chicken pox or that other illness that children have?
Chicken pox, yes.
Chicken pox, yes. And I did not have chicken pox when I was a child, but I got it from my children lately, and it was terrible. I was crying, and I lost a lot of weight, and I got to know that there is a vaccination against it, and I thought that why did not I take it beforehand? I take the flu shot every year, and almost nobody takes the flu shot here. And again, for other cases, people here have chickenpox parties. So when they see that their children are having chickenpox, they organize a party where the children can play and drink together, and they actually make their children drink from the same cup. Coke or soda or whatever for the other children to get the chicken pox, so that the approach is that they will have this now and later there will be no problem. Yeah, but there are those side effects and those some strange cases you can get from chicken pox. So there are a lot of anti-mask and flat earthers here in Hungary as well. And I am actually inside a lot of Facebook groups like this because I just enjoy these conversations so much. It is better than watching comedy in the TV. And what I like, again, are other things, but maybe they are kind of deeper, the urban legends. Are there any good urban legends? Where do you live in that city?
I'm not sure if I know any by name, but I know that depending on the area in Lancashire where you are, there's at least one sort of legend or one very scary ghost story. You know, I can think of an urban legend from where I used to live, which was a city called West Haven in the state of Connecticut, which is about an hour away from New York City. And one of the urban legends in West Haven, Connecticut, was of Melonhead Road.
Okay.
Now, Melonhead Road was a road at the top of a very large hill in West Haven. And there were some abandoned houses. There were still some houses that were inhabited, but a lot of it was no more. It used to be a very prosperous neighborhood, and it just isn't anymore. Now, the urban legend goes, the residents of Melonhead Road all have larger than average heads. And what they do is they dig potholes in the road so that when cars drive by, they get stuck in the potholes. And these residents of Melonhead Road with their abnormally large heads come out of their houses, pull the driver out and eat their brains.
Okay. It sounds like an episode from the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, just a little bit. I don't know how it started, but that is a story that we grew up with for years and years and years. And not necessarily that we believed it, but it's fun to believe crazy little things like that, you know? You're listening to Stranger Than Christian with me, Christian Carrion, on Radio Free Brooklyn. For more information or to apply to be a guest on the show, visit strangerthanchristian.com. New episodes air every Monday at 2 a.m. Eastern on radiofreebrooklyn.org and become available on all major streaming platforms the following Saturday. Subscribers on Patreon receive special benefits, including question submissions and unedited, ad-free versions of each new episode. Visit patreon.com/strangerthanchristian to help support this creative venture. Thank you.
When I was visiting Texas for work, I went there to a secondhand shop and I was buying chandeliers or where you can put your light in, and it's a wooden box with a glass window and the light is coming out from it, the candlelight.
Right, yes.
And it's still beautiful. My children love them, and it was $1 or something like that in the shop. It was an interesting experience.
I love shops like that. I grew up in we call them thrift shops as well.
Oh yeah.
I grew up shopping at secondhand stores and thrift stores. Actually, you know, my brother runs a business from home. He's actually one of the sponsors of this show. What he does is he will go to all the secondhand stores in his area, and he will very meticulously pick through the things that they have for sale, identify what is valuable, because sometimes you find things that are of great value and they're on sale for $1, $2, 50 cents. He'll buy them, have them appraised, and then he'll sell them on eBay. And he makes a huge profit, and that's how he makes his income at home. I'm amazed by him, his resourcefulness.
So he has a lot of patience for this?
He does. He has a lot of patience, and he has a lot of knowledge, too. He is very knowledgeable about fabrics and materials and the processes by which they're made and brand names and what's worth what. Yeah, he is a huge resource of information when it comes to things like that.
Did he have any success with cast iron? I just joined a group on Reddit because I also bought a cast iron thing, and everybody is praising, hey, I just bought this for $1 and look what I did with this beautiful breakfast and stuff like that.
Yes. I don't know if he has, but I know I have. I know my wife and I have found cast iron pots and pans and skillets and things. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, definitely. That's a big find. I've always heard that you're not supposed to use soap on a cast iron pan. That's true, right?
Well, so what I'm doing is going on it again and again with soap and re-seasoning it. Because I have a suspicion that my cast iron is not perfect quality. And I experience that the seasoning is coming off sometimes. I suspect it is because it was made in China. It is not very clean iron. So I clean it with soap, yeah. And
yeah,
I re-season it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Yeah, sometimes I'm glad I don't feel like I'm alone anymore. Okay, that's good. I'm sure I'll get all kinds of hateful messages now, but I mean sometimes that's the only way to get it clean. Otherwise, you know, I don't want everything left for my last meal on there. Right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But hopefully somebody will be pleasant enough to let me know how to properly clean a cast iron. I would be happy to know. If there's a way to do that that doesn't involve soap, please let me know. So let both me and Laszlo know. We're two guys who need help.
This Reddit site has a complete description about it. And a lot of times they are just using water and a brush. But yeah, I experienced that it's not coming off and it sticks. So I have to use soap sometimes, and sometimes not.
Yeah, sometimes I'm lucky and I can just rinse it out with hot water and kind of wipe it clean and we're good to go. Was cooking a big part of your life growing up? Did you have parents that liked to cook?
Yeah, my mother, the same as you. Yeah, she told me how to do pancakes and some basic stuff. So when... Again, I was married now almost 10 years ago. We had this, we have written the tasks and duties at home on a paper and we divided. And I am making the breakfast. My wife is usually making the lunch. We are ordering something. And yeah, this is how we divided the tasks. And our children like to cook with us as well. So it's going well, I think so.
That's great. I think cooking is such a great family activity, and I feel like any opportunity you have to teach somebody younger than you to cook is time well spent, because I don't know that there are many more valuable skills than that, being able to sustain yourself and make your own food.
Yeah. Maybe cleaning is something like that. But...
And that's another skill that... you have to learn early on. Otherwise, I think you have a more difficult time. You have to learn the importance of cleaning your room and cleaning your space and cleaning up after yourself before you get older and it sets in as a habit, you know, not cleaning.
And speaking about the habit of cleaning, do you know this method called KonMari-ing?
Yes. So I watched the Art of Tidying Up, the Magic of Tidying Up on Netflix.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was really fascinated with it. You know, minimalism is something that my wife introduced me to years ago. And one of the things we did was we made a list, a numbered list of, I believe it was from 1 to 50. And for each number, we added an item that we own. And once we got to 50, that was it. We got rid of everything else. And when new items came into the house, we would replace them so that we'd always stay at a flat 50. Uh-huh. And once in a while, it gets a little higher or lower than 50. But yeah, the KonMari method I found I found that it sparked joy, very much so.
I found the same, yeah. And we are going, you know that there is a list everywhere on the internet that you should follow this list and KonMari-ing everything. And we are following that list. And we are at the half of it right now. And we got rid of so much stuff.
So, really? Were you the kind of people that held on to everything? Did you find that your life at home was just massively cluttered?
No, it's more like when we got married, both of us had a different kind of whole flat. So we had our furniture, we had our tablecloths, everything. And we joined all these, so we had everything two times. And later on, every year, we had one death in our family. I believe my father started it 5 years ago. And after that, a lot of relatives of my wife's, actually her mother and her father has passed away since in just 1 year.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
And thank you. And we inherited a lot of stuff. We received a lot of stuff from them and unread books and paintings, not valuable paintings, only just some decorations. And we did not want to throw them out. And a lot of clothes and mugs and everything. And now we have the power and the will to go through them and sort them out, maybe if needed. And we have a lot of stuff, too much stuff.
Well, that's a great personal accomplishment to be able to develop that ability to separate the sentimental value from the things you own. I find that, you know, when I was getting rid of things that first time around, that was one of the biggest obstacles, was realizing how much sentimental value I attached to the things that I owned. And, you know, the sentimental value is great, but at the same time, these things are sitting around causing me stress because I'm seeing piles of belongings everywhere I look, you know, and something had to give. And I just think that's great to be able to develop that skill. Good for you.
Yeah, but we find out that it's not so easy to get rid of things because people are not buying clothes from each other. And we have a lot of clothes, even children clothes. I just sorted this weekend 6 boxes of children clothes.
Wow.
And we are selling it very, very cheap, just for a kind of a tip. And people are not really buying them. So we will have to take them to charity somewhere. But if that's okay, if it's working. But some charity organizations closed down because of COVID. So they are not accepting any more clothes right now.
Right.
So we have to investigate where to take them or where not.
And now, with books. Right. Oh, yeah. Books are a huge one. And that was a huge one for us as well.
And as a book lover, I am in a lot of Facebook groups with books. And people are saying, hey, I just bought this and I just bought that. And there are all kinds of jokes that they like the smell of the book and touch it and feel it. And I have the same sentiment. But I also know that when some of your relatives die and you have to sort out 150 books of his or hers, that's very painful.
Yes.
So now when I'm buying a book, I'm always thinking, will my son or has my son to sort out this thing after I pass away? And does it worth it? Maybe not. So I consider twice to buy it, even especially this year when you have everything on ebook and you can read on computer or ebook reading stuff.
Yes, I've become a big fan of my Kindle. Actually, my Kindle I bought at a secondhand store for $8. And I think whoever was selling it didn't know what it was, but I bought it and brought it home, and that's what I read everything on. I love it. And I know that
it's working perfectly.
It works excellently. Even the backlight, it has a backlit screen, so I can even read in the dark. I'm amazed that I'm still amazed that I found it. It was months ago, but I'm still amazed. Now, in Hungary, are there the equivalent of secondhand stores or thrift stores?
So the concept here is our secondhand shops are importing stuff from Germany or United Kingdom, because there people are putting their stuff in big boxes and just putting these boxes in front of their doors. And charity organizations are going around. Sometimes they have dates for that, and collecting all this stuff and selling these boxes to other organizations who make money from them. And these charity organizations receive the money and they do whatever they do with this money, helping the children or homeless people or whatever their goal is. And these other organizations are bringing them to Hungary. And basically we are buying secondhand stuff from German or British or people from Netherlands. And these shops are dedicated to these nations. So the huge signs are saying secondhand shop from United Kingdom or secondhand shop from Germany. And the majority of them contain only clothes or small items like mugs and stuff like that. So electronics are not really selling here for some reason. I don't know.
That's an interesting business model. It doesn't sound dissimilar to the way a lot of the thrift store companies operate here. They deal in big boxes of donations, and it gets separated, and then it gets put out on a retail floor. But from my understanding, and I hope somebody will let me know if I'm incorrect, but my understanding is the items that don't sell after a certain point, they are then sent to developing countries. In Africa or in Asia. And so they end up wearing a lot of the clothes that we don't buy here at our thrift stores. And not only wearing them, but they break them down and use the raw materials of a t-shirt, for example, to weave a shopping bag together or to use it as fabric to patch up the things that they own. Just incredible, incredible resourcefulness by people like that.
I have seen some videos, interesting what they can do with these things.
You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, independent, listener-supported radio. Radio Free Brooklyn's mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you. Every dollar helps us stay on the air. Support independent community media by pledging whatever you can. All contributions are tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. Please support with a monthly pledge or one-time donation at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. If you'd like to listen to RFB when you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading our free mobile app for iPhone and Android, available in the App Store for iPhone or the Google Play Store for Android. And please be sure to subscribe to our monthly newsletter for the latest news about new programming and upcoming RFB events. You can sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. Is bicycle a significant portion of the traffic in a place like Hungary? Is that your main mode of transportation? Yeah. Is it?
In small towns, it's very much, yeah. So when you are driving a car in a small town here, you actually have to be careful. So in the school for driving the car, they are actually have lessons, or they make you pay attention that if you go to a small town, everybody will be on a bike. And that's true. And a lot of people who were living on that town alone, they have very strange thoughts on that. For example, there is a kind of a thinking saying, people with bicycle have the first priority on the road. Of course, this is not a rule, but these people think so, and they do very dangerous curves and maneuvers with this thinking. So in small towns, you have to drive very carefully and slowly.
Right.
But even in the capital, in Budapest, the capital of Hungary, there is a huge bicycle community, and a lot of people are using the bikes. Yeah. And sometimes organizations supporting cycling, they are organizing breakfast for cyclists. So this is kind of a fair or a charity event. You can go to a certain place at a certain date, and they are just giving you a very light breakfast. And of course, they have maps and all kinds of stuff you need for a bicycle. And it's fun. It's very fun. I like it very much. And I taught my children to ride a bicycle since they were 3 years old. And people on the street are admiring them, how they can ride the bicycle, because sometimes they are not teaching them. But I think these kind of things are important, swimming and cycling. Do you ride a bicycle?
I don't now, and I haven't ridden a bicycle in many years, but I loved riding a bicycle. I learned how to ride a bike very late in life. I think I was 14 years old by the time I learned. And, you know, for a lot of my young life, I felt like that was something that was missing. I used to see kids on bikes and wonder why I couldn't do that, why I never got to learn. And I don't know anything significant about my family's financial situation when I was that young. But somehow I think that we just never really had the capability to buy a bike until I was 14. And my dad taught me how to ride one. And that's one of my favorite memories of that part of my childhood, is learning how to ride a bike with my dad. Laszlo, if you ever get to visit Pennsylvania, Lancaster in particular has some of the best biking roads I have ever seen. Hmm. There are these beautiful winding country roads, and you can see all the cows and the farmland, and you know, the sun rises right in front of you. It's unbelievable. So if you do ever get to bring your bike over here, I would highly recommend Lancaster for a ride.
Oh, I hope so. That would be great.
Yes.
This summer we just visited, there is a lake nearby, an artificial lake, and they just built a bicycle lane around it, and we did not ride it the whole thing because my children are small. It would take a whole day to do so, but we have taken, I'm trying to calculate the miles because we are using kilometers here.
Right.
Around 15 miles, we were riding the bicycle with my small children, and they enjoyed it very much, but they got so tired at the evening.
I bet. Oh, it's such good exercise. That exercises your entire body.
Yeah, it was great. And again, this beautiful artificial lake with the fish and birds and everything. It was beautiful. So if you come to Hungary, you should visit that.
There you go. Excellent. You come here and see that, and I'll come over there. I'll go over there and see your man-made lake. That would be fantastic.
Sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. Laszlo, I ask this question of everyone who participates in this show, because participation in this show was a choice. I put out a form on Reddit, and I said, you know, anybody who wants to fill this out, give me your name, basic information about yourself, and I'll be in touch. And now we're talking. What made you want to participate in this show? What made you say yes to that whole process?
Well, I'm very, very disappointed in media and people's attention right now, and what is the norm in the television? It's Big Brother, or what is the equivalent of Big Brother in the US television? It's MTV on the beach or something like that.
Right. Yeah. The Real World and Survivor and all that kind of reality TV. Right.
And I find that less and less people are reading, less and less people have real conversation. And I really find value in those conversations you are doing. I started to listen back to the podcast and in the episodes you are doing. And of course, I could not get to the end, but it's perfect for all kind of stuff I'm doing, like cleaning and cooking the breakfast. I'm just putting a podcast episode in, and I miss these kind of conversations from the radio, from the TV. And yeah, this is why I applied.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad you find value in it. A lot of people tell me, well, I've listened to half of every of your episodes because I put them on when I go to bed and I fall asleep. And some people think I might be offended by that. I think that's fantastic. If I can make something that provides that level of comfort, I'm very, very happy with that. So I appreciate you. I appreciate the kind words that you have for me and this thing. Thank you very much. Well, Laszlo, on that note, I think that this has been such a fantastic conversation, and I appreciate everything you have brought to it. I am so glad we're not strangers anymore, and I'm very happy to learn about you and to learn about what drives you. And I think it's been very beneficial for me having a conversation with somebody, with a fellow creative type. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
And it was really interesting to see how you are living your everyday life and what you are doing. It was very interesting. This was very interesting for me when I was visiting Texas to watch what people are eating for breakfast, what they are shopping. This is what interests me the most.
Absolutely, yes. And where else? Where better to learn about just everyday life than a simple conversational podcast?
Yeah.
You know, Laszlo, thank you very much for taking the time. I promise to send you the name of that book as soon as I find it.
Thank you.
And good luck with your album. I wish you and your family nothing but health and success for the new year. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Wishing you the same, and wishing you good success with the podcast, and have a happy new year.
You as well. Happy new year, Laszlo. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye. Stranger Than Christian is produced by me, Christian Carrion, for my studio in Lancaster City, Pennsylvania. Join me every Monday at 2 a.m. on RadioFreeBrooklyn.org for a brand new episode. And listen to my entire catalog of episodes on all major streaming services and at StrangerThanChristian.com. If you enjoy the show, support me on Patreon. You'll receive lots of perks and bonus content, including unedited, ad-free episodes of the show. Go to patreon.com/strangerthanchristian to give your support. Until next week, thank you so much for tuning in to Stranger Than Christian on Radio Free Brooklyn, part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. I'm Christian Carrion. Good night.
Let's teach people something super quick.
Every year, more people die from getting hit on the head with coconuts than they do from shark attacks.
Like dead?
It's not that many, because like only like one or two people, I think, die from shark attacks every year. The low teens for the coconuts.
Coconuts are hard.
Teach me something good.
Now on your local favorite podcast thing.
Yeah, all podcast things.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.